The epistle appointed to be read for this, the glorious feast of Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there is nothing, and by way of announcement, that needs to be pointed out in the bulletin. I do point out to you, however, nevertheless, that today at the offertory, as you know, as soon as the priest unveils the chalice, that you will sing then the second song there appointed to be read for today at the offertory. And likewise, after Mass, after the last Gospel, you will sing the last and final hymn. Please stand, of course, at the singing of these hymns. Happy Easter. A very blessed, a very holy, a very beautiful, a very peaceful, Happy Easter. Not as the world gives, do we give this happiness and peace and serenity, but only as God gives the happiness and the peace and the serenity. Yes, Easter. And we celebrate it with all of the explosiveness. It's cosmic. Of course, we only present a tiny little bit in this great event. But it is cosmic. Cosmic beyond cosmic is this day. Little do we understand just the size of what we're talking about. Easter is a happy day. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. It is the day which the Lord has made. It is the day when it truly was all accomplished. Every bit of it. From the moment of the beginning to this moment now, it was accomplished. We celebrate. And this is entirely fitting that we should. We can hardly contain ourselves as we sing Alleluia, and this as it should be. But we have to be very, very careful, exceedingly careful, that we do not allow the joy and the magnificence and the glory and the pageantry, actually, that surrounds this day, that it not overwhelm us and persuade us, as it were, that our holy religion is a religion of just such happiness and glory, etc. It is that, but not quite. Let us not on today, in our celebration, in our singing of Alleluia, joyfully, joyfully singing Alleluia at every turn, let us not forget that just a day or two ago, he said, I thirst. Easter without Good Friday is of no avail. The resurrection without the crucifixion is of no avail. The resurrection without the scaffolding of the crucifixion will not stand up, because the resurrection and the crucifixion are one. And so we speak on the day of the resurrection. We cannot, my dear people, yes, it's a celebration day, the greatest. But on the day of the resurrection, we simply cannot, we simply must not leave out the crucifixion. We can't do it. And for us, it is the crucifixion. It is the crucifixion that will bring us to our eternal reward. People say, how can you be sad on such a day as this? And how can you talk about death on such a day as this? My beloved people, life was insured at 3 o'clock on Good Friday. And I speak of life as coming from the crucifixion. The resurrection merely manifested itself to me, manifested, yes, I am victorious. I told you. Now believe. But life was insured on Good Friday, hanging from the cross. It was not a day of death as such. It was a terrible day. It was a terrible day when man turned against his God. It was a dreadful day, but it was a day of life, because that cross that he was hanging on was the key to the gate. And had it not been for that cross, that gate would not have been opened. And therefore, what on earth could be talked about that would be more glorious? That surely today is glorious. Take it all in context, my beloved people. But what could be more wonderful, more absolutely wonderful, than for me to look and see that the gate is open for me? What on earth could I talk about that would have more smashing importance than that? The gate of heaven is open for me. We have been in darkness for generations. And when he at last appeared, they didn't know who he was. And all that he did not persuade anybody. On this glorious Easter day, when the apostles were running around and Mary Magdalene was running around and making her announcements, everybody there that was immediately concerned with Christ was joyful, except one, the one who held out his hand for 30 miserable pieces of nothing. And just shortly before that, he was frantic, completely frantic, and all of his importance had evaporated just that quickly. And this morning, goodness gracious, this morning, when the tomb burst open and life burst forth from that hole in the ground, in all of the majesty that heaven could produce, all the world that knew him was singing its glorious hymn. And there, that one poor, poor man was hanging from a tree in the desolation of desolation. What story is that? There he was, the wind blowing his body to and fro, and all of his, whatever it was he had in him, was gone with the wind. And so it is today, on this resurrection day, we speak of such things that will bring security to us? What greater joy, what greater pleasure, what greater peace, what greater serenity, what greater anything can be told us that if we do not do this, then we shall have that glory? Nothing, nothing, beloved people, is sad about that. Some people say, you speak of sadness on glad day, on gladsome days. When I speak of telling us how to take advantage of gladsome days, it's not sadness, but it is a joy. It should be a perfect joy for us to see as we look up that for generations upon generations, that door was closed. And now we look up and it's open for me and for you and for all those who love. Today is the day that focuses completely on purpose. Why are you here? Why am I here? The world all around and about us has turned its face, and you know it, and it's looking for its 30 pieces of nothing. And isn't it strange? I've used this example before. It's been a little while now. Please allow me to use it again. The world is completely occupied and preoccupied at chasing soap bubbles. Beautiful they are, aren't they? Remember when you were a little kid, we were little kids? We chased soap bubbles, didn't we? Because they were pretty. Chasing soap bubbles is not really kid stuff. Everybody out there is chasing soap bubbles. And they chase and they run and they stumble and they rob and they steal and they lie and they kill. Until at long last they have been able to cut their hands on it. I've got it. I've got absolutely what I've been after all my life. I've got it. It's here. It's safe. It's mine. Nobody can take this away from me now. It belongs to me. And I will not dare uncup my hands outside for fear lest perhaps it will escape me and I will lose it. I will keep it imprisoned in my hands till I get home, and I shut the door and lock it to make certain that there is no possibility of losing this magnificent treasure that I now have. It's mine. It's mine. It is all mine. And so I go and I very, very carefully begin, slowly but carefully, nothing can go wrong. Nothing must go wrong. I carefully open, slowly, my hand. And to my utter horror, there's nothing there. I look, I search. Did I drop it? It's impossible. I did not drop it. It's gone. It's not there. I've been fooled. Is this not the way it goes, my beloved people? And so when the priest gets up and speaks of not, and does not speak of that which is over the rainbow, you know, in the land of Oz, there is no land of Oz. There is no over the rainbow. There is a mountain. And that mountain is called Calvary. And if we want to make our final attempt at perpetual security, we have got to climb that mountain step by step by step. The resurrection is at the top of that mountain. And I have to climb it. By the grace of God, I have to climb it. You have to climb it. It is painful. It is bloody. You're filled with contradiction, surrounded with misunderstanding. You're hit with anger. You're hit with impatience. You're hit with all kinds of things that are distasteful to you. You're hit with loneliness and bereavement and all of that. We have to climb that mountain. He said, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And perfection is at the summit of that mountain. Impossible for us to be perfect as the heavenly Father because he's God and we're not. But we have to aim to be as perfect as possible. In every regard, today, we suffer. We suffer. We suffer with confusion. At every turn, we run into confusion. We ask, who is telling the truth? Pilate, you remember, once asked the question, the famous question, what is truth? But we go to this one, and he says, this is truth. We go to that one over here, and he says, no, this is truth. And we go to the other one and he says, no, this is truth. And so we are like people at some kind of a sport event whose heads are going, eyes are going from side to side to side to side. Everybody wondering, who has the ball which we call truth? So you pray. We pray. I pray. Our blessed Lord, our holy blessed Lord, after suffering from the moment he set foot on this earth and his little wail, his baby wail, pierced the cold air of the night to the last moment when he said, it is finished. he suffered every moment of that time. Why then do we consider ourselves so privileged that we can escape such as that? If I want heaven, then I have to do the same thing that he did. Is that sadness? Of course not. It's the blueprint. I know what I am supposed to do. And therefore, knowing what I am supposed to do in order to achieve it should be for me the ultimate in peace, in happiness, in serenity. It isn't the business of running about and doing and doing and doing and doing and doing, praying and jumping and everything else, nothing. The Church of Jesus Christ and those who enter the Church of Jesus Christ will not find party time. I will repeat that, lest perhaps there may be somebody who didn't understand that. The Church of Jesus Christ and those who enter therein will not find a party going on. No, we're not lacerated. We're not down bloody. The church is perfectly clean. I don't see blood every place. But my blood is in my spirit. And I must offer that up to God to the best of my ability and say, it is all yours. I am here. Be it done unto me according to thy will and wish and word. This one thing, in spite of all the persecution, and so in spite of all the confusion, and in spite of everything else that is absolutely untoward today, that is slamming us in the face right and left, as the spit that slammed into his holy face. There's one thing in conclusion that I will say, and this should be the most consoling word that we could possibly hear. It is for me, anyway, and that is, dearest people, holy people, good people, suffering people, I will not leave you orphans.